Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Join me, your host, Susie Bonham Craig, as we embark on another journey to open the portal of wisdom. I invite you to participate in the chat room and call in with your questions on 718-305-6584 and press 1 to enter the queue. And now, our journey begins. Listeners, welcome to our special edition afternoon power hour with special guest Michael Port. I actually coined this show to the power hour because of the power that Michael's wisdom and insights can bring and help you attract the clients that your heart desires. So I'm really excited about this hour as Michael's going to be sharing with us today. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Michael and he's called the uncommonly honest author by the Boston Globe and a marketing guru by the Wall Street Journal. And Michael Port is a New York Times best-selling author of 4 books, including Books Yourself Solid, Beyond Book Solid, The Contrarian Effect, and my favorite, The Think Big Manifesto. He writes a monthly column on sales and marketing for Entrepreneur Magazine and is a regular guest on MSNBC and CNBC and receives the highest overall speaker ratings at conferences around the world. Michael's mission is to help you pursue mastery in Book Solid You and rally you to think bigger about who you are and what you ultimately offer the world. So I just like to say that the reason that we're bringing Michael on the show today, and it's a little off stream from what Wisdom Wide Open Radio typically broadcasts, but, you know, we're in the business world, things are changing, and Michael has a very, very uncommon approach to marketing and selling for service professionals and business owners. I seem to be cutting in and out of here, so I apologize. Just 1 minute. I'm going to bring Michael on. Welcome, Michael.
Oh, thanks. Hi. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm hoping we don't keep cutting in and out, but, you know, I'd like to share with our listeners a little about, if you would, about Michael Port, the man, you know,
the legend.
Well, not so much the legend, but, you know, we wanted to share a little bit about you because, you know, often we're hearing that this is Hollywood actor turned best-selling author, and obviously there was something that was stirring inside of you and that was waiting to emerge and come out that actually, you know, changed your life and your career. And if you could just dip into a little bit about that so our listeners can familiarize themselves with you.
Well, you know, like a lot of entrepreneurs, I didn't start out doing what I do now. I started my career as an actor, and I still feel like a creative artist. And I'd say I still feel like an actor, but I wouldn't want people to make the inappropriate assumption that I feel like I'm acting doing what I do. But to me, the actor is one of the greatest creative artists that we have in society because they tell extraordinary stories that move people, sometimes to do big things, other times to think differently about themselves and the world around them, and sometimes just provide amazing entertainment. And I think about what I do now as similar to that. And I one of the exercises that an actor often uses to get into a particular role or scene in a play or a film or whatever they're working on, is they ask as if. They keep saying as if I'm this, as if I'm this, as if I'm this, as if I'm that. as if it's cold in here, you know, as if it's 3 degrees, when actually, you know, it's really 77 degrees, as if I am in love with this person. Meanwhile, you just met them 10 minutes ago and have to do a scene with them, right? So you're constantly exploring the possibilities around you, and you can put yourself into such a powerful place, you know, just with that simple exercise. And it's always driven me. It's always helped me in whatever endeavor I've worked on. So when I left acting, and I left because it was a hard profession for me. You know, you have to wait around a lot. You have to be very uncomfortable with, or you have to be very comfortable with sort of letting other people, you know, decide when you work and when you don't. And those two things right there, sitting around and letting other people decide if I work, were really very, they weren't in line with my sort of natural disposition. And so I went into the fitness industry in a managerial role, and then I worked my way up to executive, and then I ended up involved in owning and running another business, and then I moved on and I started my own consulting business. But I went in there in the same way. I said, as if I know what I'm doing, and I really didn't know what I was doing at the time. But I did very well because I had a beginner's mind and a blank piece of paper, and I saw new ways of doing things that that others weren't seeing because they were entrenched in that particular environment. And I've always approached every opportunity that same way. I just got off the phone with a few people who have this extraordinary company where they create these 3D boxes where you can take any DVD, put it into this box, and it'll play in 3D on any 3D TV. So any DVD, 2D, it'll turn 2D into 3D. I mean, it's really amazing. And so they were, you know, talking to me about sitting on their board and helping them out a little bit. And, you know, I just walk into that situation saying, you know, as if. And I learn in the process. So I think that background is really, has been very helpful to me in what I do now. And it's influenced me in a lot of ways. And so I feel like a performance artist, a creative artist. And that's how I've approached being an entrepreneur and a content creator, an educator, an inspirer, and just, you know, regular dude.
Well, that's inspiring all in itself, because I think, you know, with the outbreak, I'm going to say, of The Secret and becoming more familiar with universal laws out there and the law of attraction and acting as if you're already in that space, is really what we're all doing in our own movies. You know, that's where I think our power, you know, lies, within our infinite possibilities that we have. But there is one specific universal law that you believe is really the basis or the foundation of any business. Could you expand a little bit upon that?
Well, I think you're referring to the law of reciprocity.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the simplest way of looking at marketing, law of reciprocity. If you stand in the service of others as you stand in the service of your destiny, you'll succeed at both of those things. And it's very, very simple proposition. You know, the whole Book Yourself Solid system is designed to help people who don't typically love marketing and sales, who think maybe it's something that they're not good at, not comfortable with, slimy or something kind of just weird. They fall in love with it because they realize it's all about self-expression. It's all about being in service, creating value for others, and living by the law of reciprocity. It's a very simple proposition. Now, I really think where the rubber meets the road, of course, is whether you can take your philosophy, if you can take your principles and put them into action in a very thoughtful, determined, disciplined, and intellectual way. You know, you mentioned The Secret before. I think there was, you know, there was probably a lot of good ideas presented in that book by some interesting people, but I think that overall, there in the self-help world, there's a certain lack of intellectual seriousness, and sometimes that is where people get lost. Well, I understand the principle, I understand the philosophy, I understand the theory, but they're not really digging into the practical work that needs to be done. And when I started, I worked harder than probably, you know, most people that I know. And that was a big, you know, factor in why I was able to, you know, produce. And I still work hard. I don't have to work as many hours as I did when I started. But I just think that there's a lot of BS out there about how easy everything is. I try to make everything that I teach as easy as possible, meaning it's the easiest thing to understand, the easiest to consume, the easiest to implement, but you still need to do the work in a big way. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the hard work, the more difficult work, is increasing your self-confidence so that you feel comfortable being self-expressed. And I think increased self-confidence comes with day in and day out doing the things that you believe you need to do in order to move forward towards your goals. Because even if you don't succeed at everything you try, you know that you are fulfilling the commitments that you make. And when you fulfill the commitments that you make, you feel good about yourself, which, of course, increases your confidence.
Mm. Well, you know, one of the key things that stood out for me in your Book Yourself Solid book was that keyed me in and honed me right into what I can, you know, what I connected with or what connected with me was practical ways to improve your ability to produce positive emotions in other people.
Yeah.
I was like, I jumped up and down and I'm like, yes, yes, that's me. That's me. That's what I want to be doing.
Yes.
And then when you talk about you've done a lot of hard work, there are many solopreneurs out there, service professionals that are working hard, but they really don't have, I don't want to say a clue because I don't want to, you know, demean them in any way, but a sense of direction of what work they should be doing.
Right.
So
and yes, absolutely. So sometimes it's hard to sort of determine, you know, what you should be doing when you look at the landscape of opportunities out there, because, you know, anybody with a mouth has an opinion, of course. And and so you're going to get a lot of different opinions about how to proceed, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, the way to do it, the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it, so on and so forth. And so essentially we connect emotionally, we resonate emotionally with some people more than others. And I think it's an interesting proposition to consider who we select as our teachers and where we decide that we're going to do our learning. Sometimes, and I write about this a lot in the Think Big Manifesto, because I think it's a critical component to being successful is working with others that can lead you and teach you, because the future belongs to the learner, not the learned, not the person who thinks they know all there is to know, but the person who knows they need to know more, because there's always more to know. I just want to see how many times I can say the word know, K-N-O-W, in a few sentences. But so, you know, choosing your teachers wisely is, of course, very, very important. So sometimes we choose teachers because they make us feel good, but we don't realize how much they're pandering to us. So, you know, they tell us it's okay when it's really not okay. That's one choice we can make. Sometimes we choose teachers that are very dogmatic and extremely prescriptive in the way that they approach, you know, what you should be doing. And that's on the other side, right? So you're sort of giving up your power. And then there's something in the middle where you resonate with somebody emotionally. You resonate with what they stand for. You resonate with what they believe in. And yet at the same time, they might even make you a little bit uncomfortable because they're asking you to do bigger and bigger things. They're asking you to make more commitments, to fulfill more of the commitments that you make, to be more self-expressed, to stand for something bigger. Right. So I think it's a balance of these two things that we want to find. We want to find somebody who we do connect in with emotionally, who we feel energetically, psychically, spiritually connected to, but at the same time, is not going to tell us it's okay when it's not okay, but they're not going to tell us this is the only way to do something, because that's a big red flag for me, you know. I want teachers who present options, present, you know, different ways of being, different ways of thinking, and give me an opportunity to choose the best path for myself, but, you know, are not going to make it easy for me to choose the easiest path just because I've done it before.
Mm. So now, do you agree, as a mentor, a coach, and a teacher, that if you follow any system the way a teacher would present it, you'd be successful?
No, well, no. I mean, I think a lot depends on the system, of course. You know, what kind of system you're choosing to follow. So some systems are better designed than other systems, and the same thing is true for any type of action plan that is going to move you towards your goals. So if you follow a system that is a broken system, you're going to end up with, you know, you're not going to end up with positive results. You take in the most perfect system in the world, but you don't follow it well, then you're probably not going to end up results either way. So so again, I think that, you know, if for example, Book Yourself Solid, I've designed it to be a marketing system. So you spend a certain period of time working through the exercises, creating a foundation, learning how to build trust and credibility, learning the 7 core self-promotion strategies, choosing the ones you're going to implement, and then, you know, going out and executing them, bringing people through your foundation, through your plan for building trust and credibility, learning how to have sales conversations so you can book the business, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a wonderful system, and if you don't, but you don't need to follow it to the letter of the law. My theory is, if you understand the philosophy behind it, if you understand the principles behind it, if you see, you know, the different steps that you can take, you can choose which steps you want to take. You might even adapt the system to work in your favor based on, you know, the way that you work, the way that you see the world, or the, you know, the specific needs that your target audience has. But if the system is good enough, it should be adaptable. It should be malleable. The overall structure is so strong that you can adapt accordingly. And I'm writing a second edition of Book Yourself Solid right now. It's not a new book. It's a second edition of the same book because, you know, some marketing technology has changed. I mean, you know, 5-6 years ago, Twitter didn't even exist. Nobody was using Facebook for marketing, really. Just a totally, you know, different space on the web. And then I've also improved the system, and I've simplified, and I've clarified some things that might have been a little bit ambiguous before. And so I'm making a second edition. And one of the things that I'm finding is I'm seeing through feedback from readers, you know, and there's been, you know, hundreds of thousands of readers, is how they've changed it. You know, so I've put out calls for, you know, stories and case studies and, you know, for people that have used it and how they've used it. And I see all this stuff coming back. People are like, well, I took that thing that you said and I changed it a little bit, and here's what I did with it. Like, oh, that's brilliant.
Wow.
So that's, to me, that is the most beautiful thing, because they are taking power. They are taking a system and feeling empowered enough to change it. They believe in it enough that they believe in the system enough, and they believe in themselves enough that they can influence the system. They can change it according to, you know, what they need, and it's working for them. So it demonstrates to me that the system is good, but it's good in such a way that it can be modified for the different individuals that use it, and that they're getting really great results. Just thrills me.
Okay, so that really is the thing, big manifesto. I mean, that's what's following, taking something like that and really flying with it. And
well, you know, it's funny. The Think Big Manifesto is the fourth book that I wrote, and it came out last April. And, you know, somebody, right when they first read it, they were like, yeah, it was really kind of inspiring. It was really inspiring and a really fast read, and, you know, it was really great. But he didn't tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do. I said, well, that's kind of the point, you know. He said the review was like, Michael Port got me ready for the game but didn't tell me, you know, how to play it. And I said, well, a great coach is never going to tell you exactly how to play the game. He's going to get you ready for the game, and you're going to go with your team, and you're going to play that game. And every moment the game is going to change, so you're going to need to adapt to the changing conditions in the game, right? I mean,
right.
You have a game plan that got you ready for the game, right? So you got a game plan, but that game plan is useless if something in the game changes that is outside of that plan. If you stick to that plan, even when the conditions in the game have changed, you're like, you know, you're in New Jersey and everybody else is playing in Ohio. You're just not even in the same state. Jeez, that's called mixing analogies, by the way. Never do that as a joke. So the point is, I said to him exactly, I said, look, I'm not gonna pander to you and patronize you, tell you this is exactly how you should live your life. I think that's nonsense, right? I think fundamentally, you know, the Think Big Manifesto is based on the fact that we are more than we even know we are, and that we can do more with less than we think, and that we, and that means you too, right? Every single person who's listening right now, will think bigger about who we are and what we offer the world. But the big thinking must happen now, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Not sometime off into the future. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore. And, so I think you have to have a philosophy. You got to have a way of looking at the world. You have to have, you know, certain types of interpretations that support the way that you work and live. And your interpretations don't have to be the same as my interpretations, but they have support you in the goals that you want to reach. And that's why I don't like being so overly prescriptive that you have to do it this way, you have to do it my way. I think that's dangerous. And that, to me, in any teacher in personal business development that, you know, that takes that approach, makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, that is that whole paradigm of guruism, isn't it? That we've been exposed to and that has emerged around us.
One of the chapters in the Think Big Manifesto is about unhooking from the guru trap. You know, I think we need to de-guruize ourselves. I mean, look, the Wall Street Journal called me a marketing guru, but I'll live with that. I can deal with that. I don't think that that's going to, you know, be too dangerous. But if I, you know, if you live and die by the idea of being a guru, or if you live and die by the idea that your teacher is a guru and cannot do no wrong, then you usually end up disappointed in going somewhere else. It's sort of like, you know, people, when I've been training in martial arts for 16 years, and when I first started, I started in New York, at New York Aikikai in the Shihan, which is very, very high level sensei.
Aikido, right?
Yeah, Aikido. Was his name Yamada Sensei, and he's Japanese, and he's, only 70-something now, he's a Japanese man born, you know, almost 70 years ago, and he smokes and drinks sake like a fish, and, you know, you go there thinking, oh, my God, it's this, you know, teacher, and he's this pure, perfect martial artist, and et cetera, and then all of a sudden you see him one night sitting back smoking, drinking sake, and you're like, no, it can't be. I can never do Aikido again, you know. So you get wrapped up in this idea of people being something other than a human. Now, you might have – I don't believe in smoking, clearly. I think it's crazy. But he's from a different culture, a different world. And I'm not going to him for smoking advice. I'm going to him to learn a martial art. And then I develop my own sense of self through the practice. So we need to unhook from this idea that if we just follow, you know, a guru in a certain way, then everything's going to be fine, and that if there is something imperfect about that guru, then we should then not listen to them and go somewhere else. So it happens in yoga, too. You go to a yoga studio, you fall in love with the style and all the teachers, and then all of a sudden you have an issue with a teacher, you don't like something, or, you know, you got hurt, and so you decide the style's no good, and you leave, and you go start over somewhere else in a different style with a new guru, and you never progress towards mastery. You're always just a dabbler. You do to a certain extent, you get okay, you find something wrong with it, you leave, you go somewhere else. That's a very, very typical symptom of dabbling, whereas the master says, this is where I am, this is what I'm going to do, this is where I'm going to stay, and this is what I'm going to learn. It doesn't mean that you can't change. I mean, after you know, in about 2 years ago or a year ago, I stopped pretty much practicing Aikido. You know, I've been doing it for a long, long time, and I wanted to explore something else and start from the beginning. And now I'm mostly focusing on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But I developed a certain amount of proficiency in Aikido that I felt comfortable with, and I didn't really feel like, you know, the rest of my life was going to be spent there. So, but you have to still go through that process of, you know, 10 years, 15 years, 10,000 hours, whatever it is, to, you know, to really master something. And then I say, okay, well, now consider what else are you going to do. And you're going to find imperfections in your teachers. You're going to find imperfections in the discipline, the modality, the protocol. You know, you're going to find a typo in my emails. I mean, you can't get too wrapped up in that stuff. And I think if you look to others as teachers, that they have something specific that you can learn from, and you're going to learn that from them, and not place too much emphasis on their entire life and way of being as the model, then I think you tend to do better, because you're more open to learning, and you're not you don't get swayed by the things that aren't as important to what you went to learn in the first place.
Right. So we're really talking about what's really resonating with what's inside of you, and taking that value, you know, regardless of what else is there that doesn't serve you. So let's talk, if we can, a little bit about the older paradigm now of sales and marketing that's really falling by the wayside, and let's talk about resonating. Now, I know, coming from a sales training background, every sales training I went through, you walk through the door and they said, forget everything you ever learned about sales training, because now you're going to learn something new. And what I've seen over the course of 20 years is the emergence of the people coming about and saying how uncomfortable they're feeling with the perceptions that marketing and sales has upon society. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just this morning you wrote a post based on, you know, this is the type of an email that you received based on the type of, material or approach that keeps salespeople stuck in that paradigm and our view of them.
Yeah, well, on my blog this morning at booksolidu.com/blog, booksolidu, U as in the letter U, not the word.
Right.
booksolidu.com/blog, I wrote a post. I just posted an email that someone sent to my office, then I wrote a little commentary about it, and the email basically went like this: time-sensitive material was the subject. And then it had my company name, Michael Porter & Associates, which clearly tells me they don't really know anything about me. It's directed to Gayla DeHart, who was my director of development like 2 years ago. So it was a little different time, meaning they're not exactly present with who's here and what's going on. And the email says, my name is Stephen James, and I'm a producer for American Airlines Business and Technology Report. Our talk program entertains millions of travelers each month. I'd like to personally invite a spokesperson from your company to participate in an interview segment on our upcoming edition of The Innovators, airing worldwide to 8.4 million throughout July and August 2010. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm doing your radio thing now. I do radio all the time. I get invited to do it, to bring my experience and my work. And that's, you know, one of the ways that, you know, I get publicity for my work, and I serve the people that are listening at the same time. So that's great. 8.4 million people love it. Sounds great. And then it says, for participation details and cost, click, and then there's a link. Please contact me soon, as space is limited. And then his name, and I posted his name, the whole thing. And then at the bottom it says, confidentiality notice. This email message, including any attachments for the sole use of intended recipient, may contain confidential blah, 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 blah. And then it says at the bottom, you know, to be removed from our invitation list, reply to this email stating your intent or click the following link, unsubscribing from this list. So it's spam. You know, I've been put on a list of some sort. I'm getting this invitation. And it's, you know, it's paid for. Now, the funny thing is that I've gotten things like this before. I got something like this from a company that does basically like infomercials, but they call them, they have some name, but they call themselves PBS. So they call you up and say, oh, hi, this is so-and-so from PBS. We're doing a special on this. We'd like to talk to you about being involved. Well, of course, if you're in the content business, you're, oh, PBS, right? Public, you know, broadcasting. So, you know, you're like right there. Okay, great. And then they go through the whole pitch. Oh, and by the way, it's going to cost you $32,000. I'm like, excuse me? Alex Mondozian, who's a very well-known internet marketer, did the exact same thing to my office when my last book came out. Now, it wasn't him. It was one of the people who worked for him, but whoever works for him, he's responsible for, and, you know, and I don't know if he told them to do it this way or this person, you know, went out and tried to get, you know, creative themselves, but did this exact same kind of pitch. Oh, we noticed Michael has a new book came out. We'd like to invite him to tell us some of our series that Alex does. Interviewing authors, blah, 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 blah. We think Michael's great. We've seen him around. We'd really like him to serve our community, on and on and on. You know, please contact me to talk about details and cost. It starts at $4,500. I say,
right.
What? I mean, really, this is the cheesiest way to go about selling something. So he's using it. These other infomercial companies using it. American Express, I mean, not American Express. American Express is good. I do a lot of content for them. American Airlines, this Sky Radio Network. You know, it's just cheesy. And we've been around the block enough. We're now in, you know, 2010 to sniff this stuff out. And it just, you know, it works a little bit, which is kind of the problem. They get response from it. And that's the problem. So they keep doing it, but it doesn't work as good as something a different type of approach works, and it also makes a lot of enemies. And, you know, it pisses a lot of people off. Now, here's the thing: I'm not even saying that opportunity this guy was offering is a bad idea. That might have even been a good idea, me to pay to be on that thing, because people who fly often are good book buyers because they spend a lot of time in airports and buy books in airports. So, and there are a lot of business travelers if you're on those routes. So it actually might be a good opportunity. And if presented in a different way, I might have said, I'll hear your pitch on it. But because it's presented in this way where it looks like a bait and switch, I immediately won't pay attention to it. So you might have something really great to offer, but you're presenting it in this old school way, this typical sales tactic way, and it's, you know, it's showing you off as, you know, someone.
Yeah, well, a lot of those marketing tactics all, you know, reach us and cause us to have that, like, really ick feeling. You know, it's like, this is ick. It's really icky. I really don't want to step in here.
I mean, look, you can only sell, right? You can only make sales offers that are proportionate to the amount of trust that you've earned. So this guy has earned no trust in me because I don't know him. So, you know, his sales offer is not getting attention. Well, it's getting the wrong kind of attention in this case. But so what I did with the whole Book Yourself Solid system is designed it in such a way that when you do make any sales offer, you have the appropriate or proportionate amount of trust to make that offer so it's well received. And or the person that, you know, is a potential client actually raises their hand and comes to you because they've decided it's time. They have enough trust from you. You've been serving them consistently in ways that have very low barrier or no barrier for entry. And they raise their hand and say, I'd like to come and work with you. And the mistake that a lot of people make is, you know, they start marketing right away when they have a business. You know, they get out of some kind of school and, they're told, send an email to everybody you know asking for a referral. Say, hi, I just started my business. You know, hi, I just started my acupuncture business, and I'd like you to send me everybody you know so I can stick needles in them. I you know, just started my, you know, like, I don't know if I'm going to send my grandma to you. You just started last week. Maybe I want a little more experience before I start sticking needles in my mother or my grandmother or my whatever it is, right? So that approach is too, you know, it doesn't necessarily work. You've got to build credibility first.
Well, that's what they call your warm market, right? I mean, that's the old school warm market is, you know, reach out to everyone you know.
Yeah, I guess so. I, to me, that's not warm. You have, you know, you can't, and you shouldn't assume that because you have one kind of relationship with somebody that it transfers necessarily to a different kind of relationship. You might have a personal relationship with somebody, but it doesn't mean you have a marketing relationship with somebody. You may have a marketing relationship with somebody, but it doesn't mean you have a personal relationship with them. It's different. They're different kinds of relationships. So if you look at the book, Yourself, Solid System, if you look at the book, and I'm going to go through this whole system, this whole structure at your event, there's a foundation, and that's where you start. You always start with this foundation. And in that foundation, you create a red velvet rope policy, so you work only with ideal clients. You never work with anybody that does not energize and inspire you. You only work with ideal clients, the people with whom you do your best work. You learn why people buy what you're selling. You really have to understand why people buy what you're selling. So you've got a target market. You know their needs and desires. You know the number one biggest result that you offer. And you have investable opportunities, sales, services, and products that they think that they're going to get a good return on investment from. And, of course, you know the deeper-rooted core benefits of the big result that you help people get. I'm going fast because there's a lot of stuff here, but, you know, you can play the recording in slow motion when you listen back. You've got to have a brand identity, a personal brand identity, so you decide how you're known in the world. And the way I look at branding is a little bit different than I think the way most people look at it. And you've got to be able to talk about what you do without sounding confusing or bland or like everybody else and without ever using an elevator speech, period, the end. If you can do those four things, then you've got a foundation. Then people will say, you know, that platform, that foundation, that looks secure. I'm willing to step onto it and give that person the opportunity to earn my trust. So those four, you know, pillars of that foundation need to be really secure, because that's what they need just to start, just to consider giving you an opportunity to earn their trust. Now, when they give you an opportunity to earn their trust, you've got to go about earning it over time, because trust is built over time. So you start with all the standard credibility builders. You work on increasing your likability factor. You develop a book yourself solid sales cycle that starts with no barrier for entry offers and continues to make offers that move the potential client deeper and deeper into your world until they're raising their hand and say, hey, I'd like to work with you because this is great. I think you're awesome. I love you, and I know you can help solve my problems. And you're creating information products, lead-generating information products to speed up the sales cycle, to build more credibility, to earn more trust, to make your name in the world, and eventually, you know, create multiple streams of revenue as a service professional. So you're not only showing up and offering services, you can also make money from products as well. And then, of course, you've got to master the super simple selling. You've got to have great sales conversations that work almost all the time so that you can book business. Now, that's a plan for building trust and credibility. You've got the foundation. You know how to build trust and credibility. You know how to have the sales conversation. Then you can use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all of the 7 self-promotion strategies. There are 7 core self-promotion strategies. You don't have to use them all. 4 of them are mandatory. 3 of them are optional. I'll tell you what they are. You guys guess what's mandatory and what's optional. Networking, direct outreach, referrals, web marketing, speaking, writing, and keep in touch follow-up. So networking, optional or mandatory? Yes, mandatory. Direct outreach, meaning you're going to try to reach out to somebody that you don't know to make something happen. Mandatory or optional? Absolutely, mandatory. Referrals, I'd pretty much say mandatory. I don't think you're going to do too well unless you're getting business referred to you. Web marketing, not so much. Good idea to have a good website? Absolutely. But do you have to become some sort of, you know, hardcore web marketer? No way, no how. So that's optional as a primary strategy. Speaking, do you have to go out and give speeches to book business? Of course not. You know, why would you do that if it's not something you want to do? Got to be really good at it to make it work as well. So that's optional. Writing, you know, writing for magazines, newspapers, journals, online, etc. Is that optional or mandatory? Well, certainly you have to do some writing in your business, you know, to, you know, anytime you're putting a brochure together or something on a web page or whatever, you have to write. But you don't have to become an author or a columnist or anything like that. So that's optional. And then, of course, keep in touch, follow up, the 7th strategy, absolutely mandatory, no doubt. You don't keep in touch and follow up, you know, not too much is going to happen. So you pick which of these you take all four of these strategies. You learn the book yourself solid way. So you're implementing Monday through Friday. You pick one of the optional ones or none of the optional ones, whatever you prefer. And you have these self-promotion strategies going each day of the week so that people become aware of you. When they become aware of you, they then go back to your foundation. That's the first thing to go, oh, because, you know, that article just creates some awareness. Oh, that was an interesting article. Oh, what does that person do? Who are they? So they go, I got to look at their foundation. I mean, do they look secure? Does it look safe? Or does it look like, you know, something that's got holes in it and is going to fall down, you know, under my weight? So they look at your red velvet robe policy. They see if you understand why people would buy what you're selling. They look at your brand identity. They see how you talk about what you do. And they go, okay, this really makes sense. Very clear, very good, professional, really nice. I really resonate. I connect, et cetera, et cetera. If that works out, then they'll give you the opportunity to earn their trust. And then over time, through standard credibility, likability, sales cycle, and information products, and being able to have a sales conversation, you then book the business. So you build the trust with them through that trust and credibility process. Then it's the time is right for them to buy from you because they're not always going to need what you have to offer, but circumstances in their life or their business will change when they need you. They raise their hand, I need you, and you say, great, let's have a sales conversation. You have the sales conversation, you book the business. All the while, those self-promotion strategies are out in the world creating awareness for you, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, out in the world creating awareness for you. Those people are looking at your foundation. Ah, this looks good. They go through your plan for building trust and credibility. They need you. Whenever they need you, they're going to tell you. And then you have a sales conversation. You book the business. All the while, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, your seven core self-promotion strategies, or however many you use, are out in the world creating awareness. They look at your foundation. They feel secure, feel solid. They give you the opportunity to earn their trust. They go through your plan for building trust and credibility. They raise their hand. I'd like to have a sales conversation with you. You do successfully book the business. And that's why this is systematic, and it continues every single day of your business life. Once it's in place, you just keep playing it out.
This is why you call this the book solid sales cycle, because this is the cycle. This is the system that's in place.
The book yourself solid sales cycle, the whole thing is a process, right?
Right.
There's a specific part of the process in the middle of the system. It's the sixth part of the system, right in the middle. It's the linchpin that's technically called the book yourself solid sales cycle. But that cycle is one piece of this overall larger system. So to me, this is a system, and there's lots of different subsystems and cycles inside of it, just like the human body, right? A lot of different systems working together to create the overall, you know, system that, you know, allows you to walk around and function, well, hopefully. And,
well, you know,
I
don't mean to interrupt you, Michael. I just want to let our listeners know a little bit more, you know, if we could just interject to how they can get in touch with you. And right now, I think you're starting on your second day for Book Solid You for this program. Is that today?
Yeah, today's the second class for both the Book Solid Marketing Mastery Course, which teaches the whole Book Yourself Solid system, and also the second class for the Passive Revenue Mastery System, which is creating information products and project mastery. So on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock Eastern, I teach the marketing course, and on Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern, I teach the information product course. They just started, so I'm not sure if they changed the website to close it so nobody else can come in yet, or if it's still available, but I think it probably is not available at I'm not sure is the answer, but if you're interested, you can still go look at what are in the courses. You will be fine coming in late. You'll only have missed 1 week, and you can go listen to the recording and pop right in, and you'll be good to go. And they're both 12-week courses with a free month of coaching afterwards to review and perfect. There's basically four and a half hours of coaching every week that you have access to if you want it. So they're significant programs, but very, very economical, very affordable, and our success rates are huge, off the charts. So some people take one at a time. Some people take both, two at a time. But if you look at booksolidu.com, you'll get a sense of how we can serve you at booksolidu.com.
Booksolidu.com, okay. And thank you for that. And you, I want to talk a little bit later in the program as we move towards the end about you have an upcoming book yourself solid coach training coming up in, is that July? In June in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'd like to just talk a little bit about that.
Oh,
but
sure.
I want to get back to, there's something that you wrote about the other day regarding the six keys to creating customer connection. Now, Wisdom Wide Open Radio is all about connections. It's about sharing and it's about building relationships. In fact, we just came off a great show with Keith Leon on Sunday night about mastering, you know, client relationships and building relationships. And you talk about the who, what, where, when, and how. Would you be able to, like, briefly shoot those out for our listeners?
I wrote an article. I write articles for Entrepreneur Magazine. I do a column in their magazine, and then I also do a couple articles for them each month that go into American Express Open Forum, which is a pretty cool site for business owners, a lot of content there. And one of the articles that that I wrote for them there, it's an adaptation of a part of the Book Yourself Solid system. But it's called Six Keys to Creating Customer Connection, Who, What, Where, When, Why, and How. And, you know, the first thing you have to consider when you want to create connection is who your target audience is, right? So who your target audience is, right? If you don't have a target audience, you can't even go to the next step. You've got a very specific target audience. So who is your target audience is the first key to creating connection. Who, what is the second key, right? So what are they looking for? What is your target audience looking for? And I don't mean conceptually. In this case, I mean what kind of products or services do they look for when they look for what you offer? So they're thinking, well, I should get a book on this. Or maybe I'll go surf the web and see if I can read some articles. Or I wonder if is there someone who can come to my house and work with me? What do they think about? What kind of products or services do they think about when they think about the kind of thing you do for them? So that's the second key to creating connection. Who, what, where. The third key is where do they look for you? I mean, this is so important because how else do you know where to market? You have to know where they look for you so you can show up there so that when they're looking, they find you. Okay? Who, what, where, when. The fourth key is when do they look for you? Meaning, what has to happen in their life or their business for them to seek you out? It's very important because that's a critical emotional or situational event often triggers them looking for you, okay? So who, what, where, when, why. Now, of course, why you? I mean, that's a big question, right? Why you? So this is a big part of your brand identity. What is your brand identity? You know, what do you stand for in this world, right? Why do you get up every day to do this kind of work? So why you, of course, and then six, how? How do you want them to engage with you? Meaning, when they become aware of you, what do you want them to do? You want them to, look, of course you want them to just, here, let me just buy your best, most expensive product ever. Obviously. But that's not really necessarily what's going to happen all the time. Well, it happens sometimes, you know. But as my mother would say, Kano Hora, you know, you're from your mouth to God's ears, right? But that's not always how it's going to happen. So, you know, what is the beginning of your sales cycle look like? Do you want them to go to your website and opt in for something and then, you know, give you permission to follow up with them, keep in touch with them through newsletters, et cetera? Do you want them to call to get something from your office? Do you want them to, you know, take a brochure out of a box and take it home? And or do you want them to put their magnet on your fridge? What is it that you want? How do you want them to engage with you? So those are the six keys to creating connection. If you know those, man, you are so far ahead of most business owners.
Well, you know, I have to say that when I read the article, I really had to revisit that for myself.
You know,
because I've heard...
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. The article you can find at American Express Open Forum, just search on my name, or I put a link to it on my blog. So if you go to booksolidu.com, the letter U, just click on my blog, and I'm sure you'll see it somewhere on the homepage there. There's a link over to it, and you can go directly to it from there.
Yeah, and I encourage everyone to go read that article for the simple fact that this is something you should keep by you at all times because it's a healthy reminder of whether or not you're really staying connected, you know, with your target audience and, you know, with what you're looking to do, the vision, the growth.
I expand on that considerably in Book Yourself Solid, in the book itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I think we only have a few minutes left, so I'd like to, first, I want to thank you for sharing all of that with us. But I did want to let our listeners know that this particular show, Wisdom Wide Open, is sponsored by the New Jersey Professional Coaches Association, and we're very fortunate and pleased and honored to be able to have Michael as our keynote speaker for our event on April 17th, and that is going to be held in New Jersey at the beautiful Hamilton Park Conference Center in Florham Park. That's, again, Saturday, April 17th. It's a full-day event from 8 a.m. Michael's going to kick off our day and pump us up. And he'll be talking about booking yourself solid and, you know, attracting the clients. How could you say that again for me? Because you say it much better than I do.
You know, oh, you mean to get all the clients that your heart desires?
Oh, that your heart desires.
Well,
and
you know, look, just one thing I'd say about that. I mean, in that hour and a half keynote that I'm going to give at that event, if you resonate with my philosophy, you will have a full-on plan of action with respect to what to do to get booked solid. I'll give you some work to do. I mean, you know, it's not a magic pill. I'm going to ask you, you know, I suggest you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you know, and you'll choose what's appropriate for you. But you'll have a plan. You'll see exactly, I'll chart it out for you, exactly what that process looks like, and you'll be able to go home and start, you know, knocking it out. So I could do that in a half hour, actually.
Oh, yeah, but we're going to keep you for the whole hour and a half.
No, sorry, I meant hour and a half. I can't really do it in a half hour. But, yes,
okay.
I need an hour and a half to do it, you know. Really, to really make sure that they know, you know, what to do when they leave there.
Yeah, but you will be kicking off a really powerful, you know, power-packed day. We have 12 breakout session speakers for every level of your business, and this is just not related to coach business. I want to emphasize this to everyone, as Michael, you know, also his mission is to bring this information and share these wisdoms and insights and practical tools with, you know, small business owners, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, service professionals. You know, this is seems like where the business paradigm is really moving. You know, the more that people become conscious about the value and the talents that they do have, and they're moving away from a lot of the corporate structures that are falling by the wayside, that this really is the new paradigm. And Michael is sure the one to, you know, to really get you started, get you tuned in, and start moving ahead. But with regard to this event, to come and visit with us, and really learn a lot of information throughout the day, from social media to managing time and networking and things like that, I encourage you to visit the site www.njcoaches.org/CEO, because this day is going to be power-packed with you learning how you can thrive as a chief everything officer. And that's our new definition of CEO in this time and space reality. Okay, Michael, is there any last things that you'd like to share with our listeners, you know, before you part with us today?
No, not really. I mean, if I could go on, I could spend the rest of the day. I have so much fun talking to you, but I think we've covered a lot of different things. And I always will end by just reminding everybody, keep thinking big about who you are and what you offer the world. You know, if you've got some small thoughts rattling around in your head, do battle with them. Do whatever it takes, you know, to overcome and overthrow those small thoughts, so you can be the biggest thinker that you possibly can be and that you were really born to be.
Oh, well, that's powerful. See, I told you this was a power hour. I do have one question, though, Michael, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of entrepreneurs out there that are really embarking on this, their new life endeavors of, you know, really helping, getting out and helping people and sharing what they know and really taking an interest in, you know, expanding that prosperity for, you know, for the people's lives that they touch. Is what is the window of opportunity now for these business owners to be prepared to just jump into?
You mean with respect to the economy?
Yeah, I guess. Or, you know, maybe that doesn't affect people that, you know, aren't really resonating there. But what's this, the window of opportunity? Like, why is this time such an important time to be doing this?
Well, I mean, every moment in time is an important time because we only have a certain period of time on this earth. And certainly we don't want to waste any of it not being fully self-expressed. But, you know, in terms of the economy, some people say, oh, you know, this is a really hard time. And some people say, oh, this is a really great time because, you know, you can compete, you know, in a more lean way. You know, you can charge lower prices or you can get there faster because you don't, whatever. You know, there's all sorts of, you know, a lot of, there's always a lot of talking heads. But I mean, I think I keep it really simple. If it's time for you to build a business, if it's time for you to go out on your own, doesn't mean you're alone, but I mean you're not in a corporate environment anymore, not working for somebody else anymore, then you do it. You know, it's got to be a lifestyle decision. If it's the right time, then you do it. If it's the wrong time, but it's what you've always wanted to do, you do it anyway. So I think it got to be more of a lifestyle. Actually, this is interesting. That this is sort of a similar to a question that was posed on your business. I was on the show that I'm on MSNBC last week, and you know, the other guy was saying, "Well, it's the best time ever because the economy, blah blah blah, the whole thing." I thought, well, I think it's still personal. You know, you don't do anything because of external circumstances. When you're building a service-based business, you make the decisions based on your life, what you need, what's going on with you, and how you want to live your life and express yourself, I think. That's my personal opinion.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing that, Michael. I've had the honor, a double whammy honor today, and that was the honor and privilege to be able to, you know, interact with you today and to be able to bring this, your wisdom and insights to our listeners. And in my book, you really are, you know, a straightforward, no bones kind of guy. And, you know, I go even further to say you're an uncommon, honest business owner, coach, and mentor as well. So I really appreciate the opportunity of, you know, you being here today and sharing with our listeners. And again, we just want to put in a plug for the Book Solid, Book Yourself Solid Coach. I don't know why I have a problem with that. Book Yourself Solid Coach Training, and that's June 9th through the 13th in Philadelphia. And, Michael, where can our listeners reach some more information about that? Is that directly on your website?
Everything is really easy. Book Solid U. If you click on the About tab at the top of the page, you'll see a drop-down menu, and at the bottom of that, it'll say Become a Certified Book Yourself Solid Coach. I only take about 25 people into the training, and this is the 2010 training. I have not announced it yet, promoted it yet, so the first, I think on the page it says the first 15 people get the 2009 pricing, which is $2,500 less than the 2010 pricing. So I think that'll go pretty quickly once I promote it out to my newsletter list. But if you know, if you want to be able to teach other people how to be booked solid, if you want to be certified in, you know, in a beautiful system for getting clients and get booked solid yourself while helping other people get booked solid, then it might be a great opportunity for you. So go ahead, check it out. And if you have any questions, give me a call.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate it again. And good luck with your class today. And we all look forward to seeing you at the New Jersey Professional Coaches Association CEO Forum on April 17th at the Hamilton Park Center in Florham Park, New Jersey. And for more information, www.njcoaches.org/CEO. And I believe we have an early bird special for your enrollment to be an attendee of the event, and that goes until March 31st, so be sure to check it out. All right, thanks everyone for joining us today, and remember to find the joy in enjoying your journey. Bye-bye, everyone.